views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek. And they made it with a bat, fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, die good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around and pump crack right up when you did it. And they turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And now it's blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. So one day you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
For those of you who don't know the
good pain. Afternoon, you are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today's date is December the 31st, 2015. This is the last day of the year as we get ready to head into the new year. Before I get started and let you know what I will be discussing today, some of the news stories that I want to throw out there for your consideration. First, let me just say thank you to all the listeners, all the supporters, all the people who have donated over the 8 years of existence of Black Talk Radio Network. Well, I shouldn't say 8 years. We're entering into our 8th year of broadcasting as we started in November of 2016. So we really just had our 7-year anniversary. I'm not really caught up in stuff like that, but you know, it is a milestone and whatnot. When I started Black Talk Radio Network as a reaction to some racism that was being practiced against me as a media producer on a white-owned platform, I had no idea that, you know, at that time that this will become, you know, such a big part of my life, you know. And so, I mean, we started off in 2008 with just one radio program. It was Black Talk Radio, just one radio program. Now we have a number of programs that are on the station. Starting Sunday, we'll be adding 2 new programs to the station. And I am searching for individuals who would like to become media partners, and I'm very particular about the type of programming that I allow on this particular radio station. And so, you know, there is a screening process, and so, but I do have a couple of people in mind that I'll be reaching out to. So in 2016 we'll be expanding the programming on this station. I'm excited about the programs that will be coming up Sunday, and we'll have more information about that put out on the network ahead of time. But not only do we have now more than just one program on our digital station, but we have a number of different digital radio stations utilizing the platform. And of course, they're all Black-owned, Black-produced, and produced for Black people. Now, a number of our supporters over the years have not all been Black, but they just wanted to support something that they thought was constructive, that they thought was positive, and they thought they were needed. So I just want to acknowledge those non-Black people who have supported us over the years. And today, when I was going through some of my emails, I got a message, and I hope the person is listening right now, but I got a message from a listener in East Africa. They didn't say which country that they were in East Africa, but as I have stated, you know, in my advocacy for us as a people, taking advantage of this digital radio technology, whether it's digital radio, whether it's video, but just taking advantage of the technology and the internet as a solution to the lack of, let's say, conscious black media being produced and totally controlled by black people. And so, I mean, that just really kind of warmed my heart as they express, you know, concern for us African descended people who are here in the United States. And you know, they said, you know, they just wish us all the best. They wish us a happy new year. And, you know, that they stand in solidarity with us as we are in the belly of this racist beast. And, you know, they talked about the federal government. They talked about the state governments. And they just wanted to say, you know, send those greetings to me. And so I want to extend, you know, a greeting to our listeners in Africa. We stand in solidarity with you because the system of racism is indeed a global system. And I wish you all the best in 2016. I wish you true independence and I wish you prosperity. And that is one of the reasons why I try to, you know, include international stories, because indeed the struggle is global. The global struggle is real. And so I was just, you know, just touched to hear from some of our listeners in Africa and let them know we're thinking about you all too as well. So with that said, I want to get into some of the stories that I want to share with you today. Also, you are free to call in and share any comments, observations about things that you would like to share that you think our listeners need to be made aware of. This is your radio station. This is, you know, I want to reiterate that as much as possible. This is your station. This is listener funded station. Without the support, the financial support, the moral support, the spiritual support, this would not be happening. And so, you know, this is your platform. And, you know, I don't want it to just be about my voice, but it's about our collective voices. And so if you would like to call in today, there are two ways that you can get in. As I always state, you know, there's the studio line, 704-951-5030. Again, that's 704-951-5030. You can hit us up also on the conference line, which is 641-715-3660. Let me get that out again. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. That's 549-032-pound. Once you are dialed in, you can choose to listen, as many people do. Or anytime you would like to come on air, just hit *6 and 1, and that way I will know, you know, I need to unmute your line. There's also that listener web-based flash phone, and that works, you know, as long as you obviously have an internet connection, because that's the only way you're listening to this program is through the internet, and that includes Wi-Fi and vehicles and smartphones and things of that nature. But that web phone allows you to make a free phone call from anywhere on the planet. Again, obviously, you have an internet connection if you're listening to us stream live. So you can use that web-based flash phone and then just pick the number that ends in 3660. That's that 641-715-3660. Put in the code 549032. You don't have to put the pound symbol, just 549032-pound. And that will get you in. And of course, you do have to be in, hit *6 and 1 on that flash phone keypad. We'd love to hear from some of our people around the world. All right, so I'm going to be on air for about an hour today. I have a lot of work to do again in preparation of assisting those who will be joining this radio station. Black Talk Radio Network's digital radio station. But then I have also been contacted by several individuals who would like to start their own digital radio station utilizing the services that we provide. And so I just got a lot of work to do, and I don't want to be on air more than you know I should. I just have a lot to do. Anyway, I want to take a look at a couple of things, a few stories today. Let's get a final count, even though it hasn't struck midnight yet here in the USA, or I should say in North Carolina. It isn't midnight, so unfortunately, there's still a possibility that the final body count could go up, you know, prior to the clock striking 12 midnight, you know, which this is New Year's Eve, people, you know, out celebrating and whatnot and marking the new year. So I want to look at the database killedbypolice.net, which I think is the most accurate database. You got The Guardian. They have a database called the Body Count or something like that, or The Counted is the name of that database. I was just looking at it the other day. That The Guardian's database does give you a little bit more information in terms of the racial breakdown, the states where these killings are occurring and whatnot. And so, you know, I don't want to say, like, you know, that they aren't providing a valuable service, but I think their count is undercounted. I don't know what their methods are for gathering the statistical data that they gather, but killedbypolice.net has the largest body count that I have seen of the Washington. I think it's the Washington Post. It could be the Washington Times. I seen an article the other day that they published, and I mean their body count was way. I mean they're like 400 or 500 short and whatnot of the other databases. But killedbypolice.net is the first one that I saw. We have actually had on the program this year one of the founders of killedbypolice.net and those who set up that database, and they've been on the program. I think they've been on New Abolitionist Radio. They may have been on Black Talk Radio. They choose to remain anonymous for obvious reasons. I do know their real name and whatnot, but I'm not going to share that because I don't want to put them in any danger that they don't want to put themselves in. So, but I do appreciate their work. All right, killedbypolice.net. We want to take a look at the final body count on Killed by Police. And then let's also take a look at the final numbers of police who were killed in 2015. Because as you may have noticed, like I have noticed, that you've had a whole lot of police union people, sheriffs, sitting sheriffs and whatnot, on these mainstream corporate media platforms pushing this notion that there's some kind of war on cops. And that is just bunk. That's garbage. That's garbage. All that is propaganda. And they are very skilled at their propaganda. And let's make no mistake. The police are feeling the heat. Law enforcement is feeling the heat. They're feeling the sunlight, where they are being exposed all over the world about how many people they are killing. Here in the United States of America, USA Inc., that corporation that we are suffering under right now, from what I've read, according to, I think that was The Guardian's database, they said that police in the United States kill upwards of 70 times the rate of other countries. And I think I mentioned that earlier this week on a broadcast. So we want to take a look at the final numbers, which the Washington Post says shows that there is no war on cops, that they've had one of the safest years in terms of, you know, getting killed on the job than, you know, recent years and whatnot. And then all of them ain't been, like, you know, killed by some gunman or killed while they was trying to save, you know, some hostage or something like that. You know, the numbers do include people who, cops who were killed in traffic accidents and you know, illnesses and things like that. And so I don't even know why they would put those kind of numbers, you know, those deaths in the database. But again, they practice deception, and they want you to think that all these cops are being killed, you know, by people out here on the street. And that's not true. Now, I made a decision yesterday that I was not going to talk about this Bill Cosby story because I think there are more important things to talk about. But, you know, they were talking about it last night on the Lotus Place that you know, comes on this station on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Friday nights. And, you know, this is a hot-button issue in the black community for a number of reasons, different angles and whatnot. I know some of the people I'm connected to on Facebook, mainly women, you know, they have been reliving the crimes that have been committed against them in terms of sexual assaults, or whether they were children or whether they were, you know, grown adults or teenagers when they were sexually assaulted by someone. And, you know, this is like, you know, it's like they're reliving what happened to them, and how some of them talked about, well, nobody believed me. And so they are identifying with these women, regardless of their racial classification. And there's a number of black women who have made these allegations. One of them I have interviewed on this radio station, and I've had private conversations. I didn't interview her about Bill Cosby and the allegations she made against him. But, you know, she was on here because she was engaged in a mass demonstration that happened in Detroit. In reference to the killing of little 7-year-old Ayanna Jones Stanley, who was killed by Joseph Weekly, Detroit squat team leader and whatnot. So, you know, I know one of the accusers personally. I know her, and she does not strike me as a person who would just make something up and whatnot. And she's a black woman. And so I decided that, you know, okay, I don't really want to talk about this, but I don't want to minimize the hurt, okay, that these women that I'm connected to are feeling and them reliving their own sexual assaults. And then I'm asking a question also, and this has more to do with than just the charges and the allegations brought against Bill Cosby. But it also has to do with, you know, things that happen in our community. And some of us seem to have a blind spot when it comes to black people being accused of crime or black people engaging in crime. And I think that blind spot is due to trying to overcompensate for racism and white supremacy and the horrors that we face, you know, and the injustice and all the oppression that we face. And so I think that, you know, some of us may have a blind spot, and it just seems illogical to me, you know. And I'm not, you know, I am criticizing that, but I'm not criticizing it from a bad place. I want to get off this notion that we can't criticize black people, or we can't take a constructive, critical look at ourselves. That's the only way that you can improve your behavior, all right, is being self-reflective and identifying your weak spots and your shortcomings and whatnot, and then trying to improve upon those things. All right. So, yeah, I don't buy into that notion that we shouldn't criticize other black people. It just depends on whether that criticism is constructive, whether that criticism is valid, in my opinion. I myself am not above criticizing, being criticized. And believe me, I get criticized all the time, and, you know, it's like water off a duck's back. I let it roll right off my back. I don't take it personal. I don't let it get to me or mess with my head or anything like that. But I just think it's tragic that some of us are saying that, well, what about all these white men engaged in all this crime who did the very same things and whatnot? Oh, okay, you got a good point. Yes, those white men should be prosecuted. Those white men should be in prison. Those white men should pay for their crimes against their victims. But again, you know, we live in a system of racism and white supremacy. And so black people can't expect to get away with what white people get away with, especially white males. But that don't make it right. It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it any less of a crime of what the black people did. And mainly, you know, I ain't going to say mainly, but, you know, to whoever. Because, you know, one of the biggest things that I'm going to take away from 2015 is that justice, if you want to practice justice, and Neely Fuller wasn't the first person to say this. As I was listening to some videos, or looking at some videos and listening to the music, A Public Enemy from the 1990s, one of the greatest hip hop albums ever made, Fear of a Black Planet and whatnot. And one of those songs on that track, on that album, is Welcome to the Terror Dome. And one of a couple of the lines in that says that, you know, every brother ain't a brother, cause a black hand squeezed on Malcolm X the man. This shooting of Huey Newton from a hand of a nigga pulled the trigger. Welcome to the Terror Dome, right? So, you know, Public Enemy, Chuck D and them, they weren't the first one to talk about, you know, we ain't all playing for the same team. We may all have the same skin color or variation of melanation and whatnot, but we ain't all on the same team. We ain't all trying to defeat racism and white supremacy. We ain't all trying to bring that system down. And some of us are a part of that system, right? Malcolm X talked about it. You know, Dr. King, I can't really remember him talking about proxy racism, which is a term I came up with. Because I didn't like the term, you know, house niggers or whatever. People can use whatever word they want to use, you know. I'm not going to be trying to police people's speech or whatnot. I know where they're coming from and whatnot. But I chose, you know, a more updated term to try to explain this phenomenon of black people being proxies of the racist system. And so, you know, again, if a black person commits a crime, then they should be held accountable for that crime. You know, most of the, you know, but the problem that I have with the justice system is that we got a whole bunch of people that are in prison that didn't commit any crimes. They didn't harm not a soul. They ain't do nothing to nobody. But because some morally self-righteous person say, oh, I don't think you should be using drugs, I think you should be locked up or whatever, or I don't care about you being locked up because you shouldn't have did the drugs and whatnot. How did that harm you? How did that harm anyone? Now, the harm involving drugs comes in when I give drugs to children, when I sell drugs to children and whatnot. But when what grown people do is what grown people do. It ain't none of my business. It ain't none of your business, long as they ain't harming you. What you got a problem with what they do. All right. So that's my issue with the criminal justice system, which is really just a continuation of slavery. All right. So I want to talk about that a little bit. I ain't mean to really talk about it that long that I just went on this little mini rant. But I do want to talk about it. I want to talk about it because I'm feeling for those women. You know, thankfully, my mother, my sister, my children, because I have three daughters, as far as I know, you know, they have not been victimized by someone like a Bill Cosby or R. Kelly or something like, and I'm thankful for that. But I have empathy. I still have things don't have to happen to me. I don't have to have a personal connection to people in order to feel for what they're going through or to empathize with them. But, you know, I do consider myself part of the black family. And so whether I know you personally or not, I empathize with what happens to you. All right. And then also, like, you know, in terms of justice, even Neely Fuller said, and he wasn't the first one to say it, you know, your skin color means nothing if you don't believe in practicing justice. Waving the flag, all that kind of stuff, that don't mean nothing if you are practicing injustice against anyone. All right? And I ain't talking about, you know, things that we have to do on a battlefield. You know, war is hell. People get killed in war. So that's not what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just talking about justice versus injustice. And that's one of the biggest things that I'm going to take away from 2015 is to just make a promise to myself. Not that I haven't been operating this way, but to just make sure that whenever I'm speaking on anything, whenever I'm involved in anything, I'm coming from a place of justice, okay, and not injustice. And I ain't trying to excuse the injustice practiced by anyone. Because, again, every brother ain't a brother. Every sister ain't a sister. Every mother ain't a mother. Every son ain't a son, and so on and so on. Now, there's a story that came out a couple of weeks ago. I had bookmarked it, and I wanted to share it on the program, but for whatever reasons, it got bumped, and it got replaced by another story. But this is a theme that I have seen running throughout 2015 as we have been seeing these white supremacist symbols come under assault and here in the United States. Well, not just the United States. You know, those students in South Africa pulled down the racist white supremacist statue of Cecil Rhodes and whatnot. So this has actually been like a global type movement of removing these racist symbols and whatnot, which, you know, I'm trying to remember the brother's name because he had been on the program. John Sims is his name. And he's an artist as well as a mathematician and whatnot. And he came out with this song that I have played. He came out with it in 2015 called Burn and Bury. It was really based on this Huffington Post article that he had written about, you know, the Confederate flag and then these other symbols, and he called it visual terrorism. It's visual terrorism, you know, and I know I've heard people are entitled to their own viewpoint. We're not going to agree on everything, and some people, you know, they don't want it. They want these white supremacists to remain because, you know, from the way they're thinking, it's like we need these racist white supremacist monuments that we are funding with our tax dollars, called black people pay taxes too, that we need those to remind us of the system of racism and white supremacy. Why do I need a monument to remind me of racism and white supremacy when we got the white supremacists living and breathing right in our faces? We don't need no monuments to remind us. We got the actual real thing, the living, breathing being that's practicing racism and white supremacy. We have the system of slavery. We have all these black people getting murdered, you know, by cops. And so I don't need no monument to remind me that we live under a system of racism and white terrorism in this country when I can just open up the newspaper or go online and see these stories of these incidents that's happening on a daily basis. And so I just think, I think, you know, I'm showing the utmost self-respect by not wanting my tax dollars to go fund this type of stuff. You know, now I ain't in control of everything, you know what I'm saying? But I am not going to be against anyone pulling them down. You know, I have lodged my own complaints in my own county where we got monuments, one giant monument on the courthouse grounds to a freaking terrorist, man, to these Confederate soldiers. Where I go to vote at, there is a monument. You know, it's like a little headstone, but it talks about the 1,000 and so the different, you know, units. And when I say unit, I'm talking in military terms. Let's say troops or whatnot, or what's another word I could use that people might be able to understand that's not military terminology, but, you know, the battalions or whatever you want to call them. You know, over 1,000 people from this area participated in the Confederate in keeping black people in chains, and they put a monument, you know, talking about from Lincoln County, from Gaston County, I think even Cleveland County, because all of this used to be one county called Tryon County. Before they started stealing a bunch of land from black people and indigenous people here. And so I don't want to see that when I go to vote. That's on public property that's being funded by taxpayers, and I know why it's there. It's there as an intimidation tactic. That's why they put it up. That's why they put them up in the 1930s, 40s, 50s, and whatnot. That's what they were doing, to say, hey, we, you know, y'all may have gained some temporary freedom, you know, after the Civil War, because all these black troops joined the war and kicked our ass and all that, you know, but hey, you know, you still ain't running nothing, and so we just gonna remind you by putting these monuments up where you go vote. We gonna put them up where you go to court. Look, man, that stuff need to be pulled down. It need to be pulled down. We don't need to be paying taxes. Our tax dollars don't need to go to the upkeep of that. And that's just, I mean, to me, that's common sense, but, you know, again, people are entitled to their own opinions. But recently in New Orleans, the city council in a vote, 6-1, I guess that racist white supremacist identified him or herself off the bat, you know, but and then the other ones, they could still be racist white supremacists, but they ain't so willing to wear it on their sleeves like that. But they voted to remove some monuments to Confederates in New Orleans. And so I'm asking the question, and I already told you what my position is, but do you see any value in such activity? I do. I do. I applaud those people. I applaud them students on them college campuses that's asking, is it, you know, correct for us to be honoring racists? Is it correct for us to honor terrorists? Is it correct for us to honor murderers? Is it correct for us to honor rapists? No, it's not correct. I mean, that's what a logical person would say. I think that it's not, you know, I don't know. Anyway. Those are a few of the stories that I'd like to share with you today. Again, if you have any stories that you would like to share, you can do so. Give us a call, 704-951-5030. It's the studio line. The conference line is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-*6-1. To comment on air. Again, I just want to just acknowledge, you know, we hit our 7-year anniversary in November. That's when Black Talk Radio Network, the platform, as well as Black Talk Media Project, the nonprofit North Carolina-based media organization that created this, you know, we marked our 7-year anniversary, and we're entering into our 8th year of broadcasting, and it would not be possible if not for the support that many people have given to us, whether it was moral, spiritual, financial, whatever. You know, I value all of that support. We would not be here if people did not support. You know, we wouldn't have been on air for 7 years and then extending the platform to other people and helping them learn the technology and create their own digital radio stations, which I call safe spaces for black talkers, is what I call it, where we don't have to worry about somebody don't like the name Black Talk Radio and they think it's racist. So, you know, I'm practicing reverse racism, so you gonna suspend me and whatnot? No, no, no. I ain't gonna be no victim. Yes, I was victimized, but I ain't gotta stay a victim. And so Black Talk Radio Network platform was born. All right, we're gonna take a station identification break, kick some message music, and then I'll get into all those things that I laid out for you. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed, broadcasting from behind these enemy lines.
I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the Black Revolution and the Negro Revolution. There's a difference. Are they both the same? And if they're not, what is the difference? What is the difference between a Black Revolution and a Negro Revolution? taking careful consideration what this word actually means and what its historic characteristics are. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land, the basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost. Was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what a revolution is. But when you find out what it is,
we have to begin to move to control our community. Everything that's in your community that you don't control is a weapon against you. Public education as it exists today is a weapon against black people. TV and news media, especially the WPP, white power press, white people's paper, and white people's power are enemies against black people. What the white press does is that it makes black people an enemy of black people.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in for this broadcast. For those who are regular listeners of Tando Radio Show, y'all know Brother Dave and his family experienced some of that inclement weather affected by them tornadoes down there in Texas, and his communication services had been knocked out. He contacted me today, and he said they have been restored, so he will be coming on air today at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So just wanted to pass that along to the regular listeners of Tando Radio Show right here on Black Talk Radio Network. Let me see if there's any other announcements that I want to make before I get into some of these stories. Let me see. I can't think of anything else right now. KillByPolice.net. It was a database that was set up in 2013. So they are about to enter into their fourth year of service and gathering statistics on all the people that have been killed in the United States by police. And as they state, they are not trying to say that all the people who were killed by police did not, you know, commit crimes or weren't trying to harm other people and try to kill other people. All right, they don't say that. All it is just giving you an overall look at the casualties out there on the battlefield. But we know from examining individual cases, and I'm telling you, there are just so many cases. Man, we talked about one case every year, and I'm talking about the innocent people, people that we can look at the reported facts and determine that these were unjustified extrajudicial killings. If we talked about one every day, well, we wouldn't have enough days in the years to talk about them. We just simply would not, especially if we included non-black victims and included all the other victims who've been killed. We wouldn't have. It would take us a couple of years. It would take us about 4 years if we to talk about each case every day. That's how many people got killed in just 2015 alone. So I just wanted to say that they don't try to get into the details of the case. They're just reporting who was killed. and they pull their information because, you know, they're scouring the internet for news media reports. And I think when I talked to the person, one of the persons that's a part of that, again, I know the person, I know their name, but they want to remain anonymous, and that's their right. But let's see, we're getting a call. Let me go ahead and take this call. Don't want to keep, as Brother Dave say, we don't want to keep the callers waiting. Area code 267, thank you for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Hey, good afternoon, Scotty. This is Brother Ralph, just calling to wish you and your family a safe New Year's, man. And just wanted to remind you, man, that I appreciate Black Talk Radio, and just wanted to let you know that, brother.
Right. I appreciate you expressing that, but you know, I know that, Brother Ralph. You have been a staunch supporter of the network, and you've been a financial supporter of the work that of the Black Talk Media Project. But I appreciate you calling in and saying that to me, you know, and I appreciate you too, because I know you trying to be part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Yes, sir, Brother Scotty. And I, you know, I just wanted to call in to also let you know, you brought up some things about these police killings. I remember, like, in the early 2000s, when me and a couple of other brothers, man, we were, like, you know, talking to our people and letting them know, like, wait a minute, something's going on here in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. where 38 unarmed black men were shot within 12 months. And we were trying to call that to the attention of the masses, and they basically looked at us like we were crazy. Mm-hmm. But now, it seems like everybody's well aware of it. You know, some want to close their eyes, some want to stick their fingers in their ears, but a lot of us are waking up now, and you can't help but waking up. They're showing us this stuff right on their body cameras, which certain civil rights leaders were demanding that the cops will get body cameras and this will stop it. No, it won't. You can't stop hate. And you see these race soldiers, these neo-Nazis just gunning our people down. Now our children. Mm-hmm. And the thing that really concerns me, I was looking at some of these leaders out here in Cleveland. I mean, you can't fault them, but something has to be done. They're talking about civil disobedience, mm-hmm. Which means more marching, praying, mm-hmm. singing, chanting, no justice, no peace, the same old, same old. Mm-hmm. And the situation is getting worse, man. Mm-hmm. We have to, this year, I hope that our folks come up with a solution. First of all, the first solution, and I have to agree with Millie Fuller and Dr. Francis Quest Welsing on this. The first solution, you have to love yourself. Mm-hmm. If you don't love yourself, then you're going to continue to allow this nonsense to go on. And if you don't love yourself, you don't love your children. You don't love, and you know, and, right. and it's time for us to get honest.
Right.
And look in the mirror. It's time for us to get honest and look in the mirror and say, do we love our children? Mm-hmm. Do we love ourselves? Do we love our race? Mm-hmm. Because all our actions are showing that the majority of us don't. So, yeah. You know, I'm not a religious person, but I am taking some of these conversations to something greater than me, man. Some power, some creator greater than me to say, like, look, I'm hoping, because the people are waking up. It's a slow process, though. Mm-hmm. But I'm just praying, man, that our folks first learn that their lives, we don't need to wear this junk on our t-shirt, Black Lives Matter. Matter of fact, I believe that's all corporate owned anyway. We don't need that. We need actions more than words and t-shirts.
So, let me ask you know, this, though, because I'm glad you reminded me of that. Cause we actually, you know, we're talking about it on Facebook briefly, you know, we exchanged messages on, you know, on the timeline about what happened in Cleveland. And I meant to put this down in my program notes, but I forgot to put it down, but you just reminded me. I was talking to one of our good Pan-Africanist, Black Nationalist brothers, Minister Paul Scott, who's in Durham, North Carolina. And he was saying that it was wrong for them to call out LeBron James when they ain't willing to do something themselves. And so I expanded, I thought about that, and I was like, you know what? Because this started trending on Twitter. You know, all these people using this hashtag, no indictment, no LeBron, and calling LeBron not to play any games or you know, not do his job and whatnot. And I was like thinking about that. I was like, you know what? That's unfair to LeBron James to try to put this all on him. And on his shoulders, he didn't go out there and kill Tamir Rice and whatnot. He ain't the cause of these people out here brutalizing us. And so what makes you think him by himself is the solution to the problem? Me, myself, I think I'm not going to say the only solution, but the only solution that we haven't tried as of lately, it has been done before, that's a militant. That's a military solution. That's what it's going to take if we really, really, like you say, love ourselves, love our children, love our community, is that we're going to protect our communities from anyone who would come into our communities and kill us and oppress us and beat us and just all the abuse going on. Now, LeBron, you know, he showed some kind, I know he has some level of consciousness, you know, when he was at Miami, you know, again, you know, it is what it is. People could say it wasn't nothing, but it just showed that he is conscious of the killing that is happening when they were, you know, supporting the movement against George Zimmerman and raising awareness about Trayvon Martin and whatnot. Now, could these athletes be doing more? Yes, they could be doing more. They could be funding networks like Black Talk Radio Network. They could be funding true grassroots movements and stuff. And I know a lot of good that they do, you know, in these communities. LeBron has paid for a lot of kids to go to school and, you know, provided them with stuff that they otherwise wouldn't have. Some of the same with the NFL players and NBA players in Charlotte. Man, I see these guys. These stories don't always make headline news because they ain't looking for that attention. But I've seen NFL players out there, man, using their own money, man, to feed needy families and provide them, you know, with educational opportunities and stuff like that. But, I think that it's wrong for us to be pointing fingers at anyone like a LeBron James and then trying to put it all on him because, okay, he already said that he's going to keep playing basketball. Then what's that? Now all of a sudden all the focus on LeBron. Oh, LeBron don't care about black people and he's just a no good, you know, NBA slave and all. You see what I'm saying? Then you're going to turn your focus from the oppressor and turn it on one of the oppressed because he happened to have more money or more resources than us. Look, I ain't trying to let them off the hook. I feel like they could be doing more. I feel like they could be doing more, you know, in addition to what they are doing. But like I said to Minister Paul Scott, I was like, just like they telling him not to go to work, what if we, you know, just black people or anybody else that believe in justice, what if we picked a day and said, you know what? If we don't see a change in this and an indictment of these killer cops and the end of 21st century slavery, we not going to work. Man, this country would be shut down. You just think about if you didn't show up to work. Well, I work for Black Talk Media Project, so I don't, you know, go outside. I don't have to, you know, go outside like many of our people. But what if everybody decided if y'all don't stop practicing racism, white supremacy, we going to quit working? Just like they asking LeBron not to play any basketball games. And if you are telling LeBron or talking junk about LeBron because he going to keep playing basketball, those basketball games, but you ain't willing to boycott your job, and then you just a hypocrite, in my opinion. What are your thoughts on that?
Action speaks louder than words, Scotty. And like you said, it's not what we say, it's the examples that we set forth. And if these people ain't willing to give up their livelihood, to give up their worship of what you know what? And like I said, if you're not willing to do it yourself, don't put that on nobody else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's what it boils down to. I believe the athletes could be, it seems like the athletes are getting worse because that Allstate commercial. Mm-hmm. That they put on.
Oh man, I mean, I know what you're talking about.
That really disturbed me.
Put another black man in a dress for those who don't know what brother
big, strong,
what he talking about.
A big
about.
Strong brother too. A big strong
and a blonde wig.
Had a blonde wig on. And for them to participate in that, you know, I don't look for nothing out of them. I'll be honest with you, man. I don't look nothing from out of these people in Hollywood, these comedians. I don't look for nothing out of them, man. Because, you know, I'm not a religious person, man, but there is a scripture in there that says you will be taken to a, you know, it's in the Old Testament. It says you will be taken captive in the land and you will worship gods of wood and stone.
I know what you're talking about.
What is money made out of? Wood. Mm-hmm. It's paper that's printed up, and people rather go after that than really have a conscience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, these things, some of these things, Scotty, we got to really, and you know, that's why I like your program because you allow people to express themselves. It's time to give up these religions, because they're killing us, they're separating us.
Idolatry.
This man has got us. They have us so divided. Even with this Cosby thing right now, mm-hmm. that thing also shows you how you can be rich and powerful,
mm-hmm.
and also be taken down. Even when you're a senior.
Brother Ralph, you know what you I know got what I mean? From there? Brother Brown, this brother that calls in to the Lotus Place on a regular basis, and he real conscious brother, man. He out there in the struggle. He's an older man, too. I think he in his 60s. But, I mean, he was kicking so much truth on this Cosby situation last night, and he was saying, you know, that Cosby thought that his money was going to buy him white privilege. And now he's learning he can't get away with the things Hugh Hefner was doing. He can't get away with the things Roman Polanski was doing. He, you know, you just pick any of them degenerate.
Martin Sheen,
yeah, you know, spreading AIDS and giving people AIDS and whatnot, you know. So he can't get away. Now he's learning that money does not necessarily shield you from racism and white supremacy, because he thought he was going to get that white. That's what Brother Brown said last night, and I thought it was a lot of truth in that.
It is. But they're also putting that there in our faces to show us, you know, stay in your place. Because, I mean, whoever's behind this, whoever these powers that be, you know, they are basically showing us, and we got to open our eyes and really see it.
Mm-hmm.
Stay in your place. That's what these powers to be are telling us. Mm-hmm. And like I say, I always reference this movie called They Live with Rock and Rodney Piper, who died a few months ago, from what I understand.
Yeah, he did.
But, yeah, that movie tells you something.
Unless you're willing to die, like
just Malcolm was saying, You have revolution. And
Black
you have
revolution
Negro
versus
revolution.
Negro revolution. Yeah.
Unless you're willing to die for what you believe in, you're just spitting in the air, man.
Right.
You're just spitting in the air. And I what I'm hoping comes out of this Cosby situation, if they really do take it to him, what I'm hoping, brother, if he just spits, who is the flesh and blood behind this white supremacy? Because Michael Jackson did.
Yeah,
and
Michael
it was played off by the media, but Michael Jackson moved to a Arab country and let you know he had to get away from these bloodsuckers.
Yeah,
so I'm telling you, and that was the downfall of Michael Jackson. But Michael Jackson let you know, I gotta get away from these bloodsuckers. He told us who they were, but we still want to, you know, like listen to white supremacy. There's got to be flesh and blood behind white supremacy. Who are they?
Right.
Who are they? It's not your toothless drunk in a trailer park.
Right.
So, you know, so, no, I just had to call, man, and say, like, I'm a try to remain optimistic that we are progressing and not regressing for 2016. Mm-hmm. So I gotta remain optimistic. You know, even though I don't like what I'm seeing,
right.
even though, they're showing it to us right in our face, they're doing everything I just gotta remain optimistic, brother. And, I wanna say, like, thank you again, man, for providing this forum, because if you're paying attention to, terrestrial radio, our channels are being knocked out all over this country,
yeah.
or being taken over by gospel and fools like Steve Harvey and Tom Joyner and the rest of them. So, mm-hmm. you know, I just wanted to say thank you, man, once again, and that's why I was calling in.
And thank you too, Ralph. As I said, this our network. You helped build it, okay? Because I wouldn't be able to do it without support, man. You know, so hey, this is our network. We built this.
Yes, sir.
You have
a good
day.
One, man, and I want your family to stay safe through this so-called celebration, man.
Oh, no doubt.
Peace,
no
brother
doubt.
Scotty.
Peace. All right. Let me see. We have another caller, area code 504. Thank you for calling in. Go ahead and speak. What's on your mind? How you doing today?
Well, I'm good, Scotty. I'm good, man. I just call and first, I want to congratulate you, man, on going into your eighth year. That's awesome, man. I wish, like I said, like I called the last time, I always say, man, I wish you had the audience that some of these idiotic stations have. And mm-hmm. if you had that audience, a lot more people can be changed in their thought process. I mean, because like I said, man, you guys have really opened my eyes. Scotty Reed, with your Black Talk Radio News, Tando Radio Show, New Abolitionist Radio, man, I love those programs. You know what I'm saying? And I'm definitely going to always support this cause, man. What I call for is I want people to understand, and especially the black men out here that have anything on their record. And I call to say this because I just want those guys to know that they're not the only ones that struggle in this white world that we're in, and they're not the only ones struggle trying to get jobs. You talk about, and I listen to you and your education, and I'm, you know, and it's awesome, but just black men, period, whether you have education or not. You're gonna have it hard, and I'll give you a quick example.
Okay.
Scotty, I'll give you a quick example. Like me right now, I have an MBA, okay, and I got an associate's degree in computer and electronics. I got my bachelor's degree in information systems. I got my MBA, of course, business. So I was working for a company, and this is one of the causes that I definitely want to get into and get to helping guys try to get jobs, because if it's hard for me, trust me, I know it's hard for someone with any type of felony, misdemeanors, and stuff like that on their record.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm working for this company, man, and you know, I'm one of those brothers. I'm not kissing your ass for no, you know, I'm not gonna kiss your ass to move up, and I'm not gonna kiss your ass for no job.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I left, you know, and I was telling my wife about that this morning. Well, anyway, I'm at this job, man, and the guy that was over me, he ended up getting fired. He ended up getting fired for stealing from the company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was the guy, man. You know, you're doing really well, and I want you to be the supervisor and all this kind of stuff. Well, you want me to be the supervisor, and I'm cool with that, because guess what? You offered a position to me, I'm gonna take it.
Mm-hmm.
So, the issue is people don't realize. These people, a lot of these white people, and I'm gonna say white guys that I've dealt with the years that I've been working. If you don't play that game with them, or that ass kissing game, and they know exactly what they're doing, you know, when they do certain things, they try you.
Mm-hmm.
I had this guy try me because I was in safety, and this brother. He wouldn't say anything about the seat that they had a seat in a truck that was broken. So he wouldn't say nothing the whole time. You know, so I didn't know until I actually got in that truck to drive it. So this guy had been driving the truck for a few months. He ended up hurting his back. And, you know, of course, he took a little bit of time off. Well, anyway, I come into work. They tell me, look, we need you to take this truck. We need you to go here and deliver this, whatever the case is. Okay, no problem. So I got in the truck. Seat was leaning. So I told the guy, look, man, y'all need to change that seat out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm not going out with it like that. It was all kind of mess behind that. But I just basically told him, look, if you don't change it, I'm not going nowhere. So you expect me. And of course, if I'd have knew this, and I told the guy, I said, man, y'all need to learn how to talk up. You know what I'm saying? You need to learn how to talk up. Don't be scared of these people. If you got an issue, bring it up. Let them fix it. Let them fix the issue. Because they're not going to put you out there if you say, look, I can't do this because this is unsafe.
Right. So, exactly. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal. He never said anything. So I get in there. And of course, me and the manager, the guy that was over me, we got into it. And we, from that point on, it was like, I guess he didn't believe that I would go there, but I would go there, man, because I'm not going to kick somebody else in the butt to make you happy. And of course, now you're using me. Now you're using me to see if I'm going to go that same step. Now, because I didn't go that route, of course, somebody else got the position. Now, I say all of that to say this. That was just one situation. I did a study, and I showed my wife just in the past 3 months. Let me show you what I did. The last 3 months, I put my education. I had a top resume do my resume. So I paid them for the last 3 months to set my resumes up. I wanted it to be an excellent resume. So when I send it in, I can get the different calls and interviews and stuff.
Right.
So I did that. I'm gonna tell you, man. I kid you not. I filled out probably 50 applications, and out of 50, I probably got 3 calls. Okay, so that's cool. And I told my wife, I said, "Something not right, man. All these jobs they have out here, something not going right. I'm not getting you a job." So let me tell you what I told them to do. This is what I'm gonna do. For the next month, I'm not gonna put my education on there. By the way, I got a GED. I dropped out of school in 10th grade, but now I'm where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
So I told her, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to just put my GED on there. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to put none of my other education. I'm just going to put that on there. So I fill out about 10 or 15 applications. And guess what? I got about 8 callbacks. And it really didn't surprise me. But especially these big companies, man, it is like you really need to know somebody to get into some of these big companies.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Right.
So I just wanted to say this for the guys next year. A lot of guys gonna be getting out of prison.
Mm-hmm.
Man, just keep your head up, keep moving. Don't get sucked back into that drug stuff,
mm-hmm.
because all they're looking for is to put you right back in the
in the
slavery.
Yes.
Back in the slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, man. I give my props to y'all, man. Y'all just keep up the work, man. I know I'm gonna keep supporting, and a lot of people around me. I get to listen to you guys, and usually when a person listens and they start realizing, man, I was really dumb out here. You know, you could be smart. You could be the smartest person in the world, but if you don't understand what's going on in this country,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're lost. You're just one of those lost people.
Yeah, I was saying that to somebody on Facebook today. We were talking, and I was just telling them, you know, how much more I have become aware of just in the 5 years, in the past 5 years, now that I'm out of school. You know what I'm saying? I've learned more in the past 5 years about what's really going on as opposed to when I was in school and out there in that workforce and whatnot. Because, you know, I tell you, man, but like Malcolm said, you know, everybody has their own appointed time to come into awareness. So, you know, it is up to us who are aware of these things to try to help other people become aware of them as well. And hopefully they will. if they don't outright reject it, because some people hate knowledge. You know what I'm saying? They don't want to know.
Oh, yeah.
They want to remain ignorant.
Can tell you. Mm-hmm. I know people, man, you tell them stuff and they like, oh, man, you know, and it almost like it just keeps shooting over their head. And sometimes you get frustrated. It's like, why am I talking to this dude? Because mm-hmm. even though you tell them certain stuff and you show them, look at this. Man, I showed about six different people right before Christmas. 13th Amendment. Mm-hmm. And do you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, I hadn't read it until I started listening to you. So when I showed it, I just put it out there and I said, y'all read this and tell me what y'all think. You know, and this people in my family, they read and they looking at it like, what's the point? I said, read it again. Read it one more time for me and tell me what you think. You know, and they read it and they're looking at me like what, and this is the part that you have to have patience with people, because
yes,
because for me to sit there and put this in front of them, and this, you know, two of them are my daughters, and they pretty well educated people, so they, you know, I'm looking at this and read this and tell me what you think. They didn't really get the understanding of what I was trying to get them to read. I said read this whole thing, and then kind of give me a little bit of what you got out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I ended up having to explain it to them. And when I explained it to them, they're like, what? You know, they're sitting there looking with their mouth open.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, it's right there in front of us, and we just never take the time to read and understand. And you get a better understanding when you listen to, you know, your programs and stuff like that. If you listen to your programs, you can actually get a better feel of why they did this, mm-hmm. why they put this stuff in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm saying, man, you better keep up the great work, man. Keep it up.
Thank you. Yeah. And, you know, as long as I have breath in my body and I'm able, you know, Black Talk Radio will keep going. And let me share this with you before you go. My grandson came in my little home studio, right? And, So I was out taking the trash out, and I come back in, and he's sitting here in front of the computer with my headsets on. And my daughter asked him, what you doing? I'm doing a radio show.
Yes, indeed. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking. That'd be the next Scotty Reed right there, you know.
I'm hoping.
We need that though, man.
I'm hoping, man. You know? And so we just gotta pass that baton on to the next generation, you know. And hopefully it won't take that long. But man, we just gotta, like yeah. Brother Ralph said, stay an optimist and believing we can, you know, bring about a better world and bring about a system based on justice. I mean, because if we don't, ain't nobody going to do it. They not going to do it, you know. So I'm going to stay encouraged, man. And I'm encouraged, you know, when I hear from people like you, to know that what we're doing is not in vain, that I'm not just, you know, on here running my mouth.
No, it's not, man. I tell you, bro, like I said, man, I wish, and it's going to get bigger. It's going, because I know you're growing. I know it's growing.
Yes, we are.
But as people, I know it's growing. I mean, because, you know, like I said, I got people around me now that listen to you every day. So it's growing, and I, just give it some time. Just give it some time.
Yes, sir.
It's going to get bigger.
Yes, sir. And I wish all the best to you and your family, man. And, you know,
same
just
to you.
Thank you. And you have a blessed day, brother.
All right, Scotty, you too. Bye.
Okay, let me take another
Q&A queue is cleared.
Station identification break, and then I will share some more information. Oh, another thing before I forget, because I had planned to talk about this, but I forgot to put it in the program notes as I was going through all the different stories I was thinking about sharing. But going back to the Cleveland situation, and all of those people on Twitter and in Cleveland is trying to put all of this on LeBron James' shoulders, okay? And I just thought about that, but then I was reading this article that was published by the Daily Beast that broke down the local politics, because I do believe politics are local. I do believe that, you know, we can locally, I don't believe so much in terms of the federal government and whatnot, but like my little county government, or if I lived in one of these little towns, I do believe that, you know, if enough conscious people got together, ran for office and, or whatnot, that we could make some changes on the local level. You know, I point all the time to, and he just passed away this year. May he rest in power. But Judge Jingles. All right. He's at this white supremacist courthouse, right? They got the Confederate monument in front of there. But he became the chief district judge. Now, that's an elected position. All right, our judges on the district level in this county, we elect them. And, you know, I would go to the polls, you know, with that. The number one thing on my mind is getting Judge Jingles reelected, because I've had an opportunity to observe him doing his job from the bench. Actually, I was, you know, had to go before him for a couple of things and whatnot. And he practiced justice as much as he was allowed to practice justice from that bench. So I do think politics, you know, you can have an impact locally if you get the right people in positions and whatnot. But this is what I learned about Cleveland. I learned that Tim McGinty, that prosecutor who set out, okay, he set out to allow this killer cop or cops to get away with murdering Tim Rice. All right. Now, I started looking at the local politics. That guy had been around in local politics there since the 1990s. And just like Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, and Republicans and other people was running around talking about being tough on crime and we got to lock them up and throw the key away and all that kind of stuff, he was one of them guys out there saying the same thing in the 1990s, all right? Now, I think he might have had left office for a number of years, but he just recently got back into office. Now, they talked about in Cleveland in this article about the high voter turnout that they had in 2008 and again in 2012. Well, guess who was, you know, elected, or we could say selected, because again, when you get to those high levels in the federal government, you know, I like to think that our votes matter, but I'm saying based on the evidence, no. I don't. These people I think are selected and, you know, put into that position to even run for the office. But anyway, that's why all the people turned out to vote, because of Obama. In 2008, they turned out for Obama. 2012, they turned out for Obama. The very after that last election and those elections in between the presidential years, these people stayed at home. They stayed. They had less than, and in terms of the black community, they had less than 30% turnout of registered voters. Now, most of the people, you know, like, not, it's not just a thing that's in the black community, but people in America, period, the majority of people don't participate in politics. So that's not saying, you know, we doing something wrong that other people aren't doing themselves or whatnot. But I looked at that. And then, so, you know, you had a couple of what it seemed like, you know, some black people running for that office that seemed like, you know, they really did want to, you know, and we can only base, go off of what people say they gonna do. What they actually do is another story. But these black people never got the opportunity to get into that office because didn't nobody, the black community didn't turn out to support them through the ballot box. And so, but then not only that, all right, then all them black leaders, and I'm going to put that in quotations, you know, the black pastors and bishops and the local NAACP, the Urban League and whatnot, you know, those sort of organizations, they endorsed this guy, man. They endorsed this guy, even though he had a record of not practicing justice when he was in there before. Okay, he been working in government since the 90s, maybe not always as a prosecutor, so he had a record that people could have looked up and that they should have known about this guy, you know. And so then for those people to not turn out to vote for what might have been some conscious black people who understood what was going on and talked like they wanted to make things right and implement a system of justice. But then for the other people okay, who call themselves leaders to endorse this racist white supremacist just because he a Democrat. That's one of the biggest problems that we have. And I ain't coming from the place of a Republican, right-wing, racist, suspect conservative. I ain't coming from that place where they tell you, oh, you on the Democratic plantation because you won't vote for Republicans. Well, hell, there's a good reason, you know, because you're just some of the most crudest, vile, evil, racist people when you don't hide it. And you wear it on your sleeve because that's the only way that you're able to get a bunch of other racist, suspect, white supremacists to vote for you. So why would we vote for you when you openly racist and whatnot? But where a lot of us fail to see is that the Democrats, just cause they say they support civil rights or the Voting Rights Act or they want to reform this or reform that, that, hey, it's not about what they say they gonna do, it's about what they do. And I can tell you what they have done. And they have worked with Republicans in terms of increasing the enslavement of black and non-white people in this country. There's no difference. And so for us to be sitting up there endorsing somebody simply because they are Democrat and not looking at their record and whatnot, that's on us, man. You can't blame LeBron James for any of that. You can't blame him for any of that. And we're still, when we're talking about a LeBron James, that's a young man to me. I'm way older than LeBron James. These are young people, you know, these athletes and whatnot. A lot of them is young, man, and they still learning. They still learning, ain't figured out the system that they living under. Some of them, you know, more than others are coming into awareness. But, you know, hell, when I was his age, I didn't, if it was not for Public Enemy and Public Enemy videos, I would not, who's to say when I would have came into consciousness? If not for them, I'd have never read Malcolm X's biography when I was, what, 23 or 24 years old. And once I read that biography, you know, that just, through the years, I kept learning more and kept learning more and kept learning more. So that's why I'm not so quick to dump on people. But then when there are older people and they know better or they should know better, and then they and give their endorsement to a white supremacist, you can't put that on LeBron. You can't put that on him, and that's just not right. That's just not right. So that's what I wanted to say about the local politics and what I learned about the local politics over the past few years about what's going on in Cleveland. All right, so let me move on. I'm gonna say this about I'm gonna go ahead and play some message music, take a station identification break. Again, if you would like to call in and share any news, any opinion, again, agreement isn't necessary. We are not always going to be in 100% agreement. All we got to do is respect each other. And it is through dialogue that somebody becomes enlightened, you know, because, again, I don't know the things that I do know that are factual. I didn't always know them. I didn't always know, and maybe you can teach me something. So it's not all about you got to call in and agree with me, or I'm going to shut you down, or I'm going to disrespect you and talk over, or I'm going to let you say your piece. All right. So anyway, the telephone number is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-pound. Hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. But hold up, because I want to kick some message music, which I need to make some more message music. I have already started by saving some of the sound bites that I want. I just got to put them to some music. So y'all stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side.
I don't worry. I tell you, I'm a man who believed that I died 20 years ago, and I live like a man who is dead already. I have no fear whatsoever of anybody or anything.
They used force on inmates. They beat up inmates. They planted evidence or weapons in cells.
If an inmate was beaten up, presumably if he made a complaint, there had to be some sort of investigation.
It would be squashed at the management level. It wouldn't go any farther than that. it wouldn't go any farther than probably the supervisor of that yard.
Donald Boddicker is now in hiding. We had to agree his lawyer came to the interview, and we couldn't say where we met them.
Ever since I broke the code of silence, I've lost everything. I've lost friends that I had associated with the Department of Corrections. I've lost some of my family members. I've lost everything. I've lost my career. I've lost financially. It's devastating. I'm on the move all the time.
Why?
Because I'm fearful for my life, for my life, for my life, for my life.
This is Monroe, North Carolina. The town where local NAACP president Robert Williams created headlines when he said, "Sometimes violence must be met with violence." Many asked why.
You know, we do whatever we do to survive.
Drop it!
Some of the people who had thought that it would be better to settle these cases violently, I had been able to persuade them that we should use the courts and go into the courts. So this thing had boomeranged, and I was being held responsible for having brought these cases to court. There was a trial where a Negro maid had been kicked down a flight of stairs by a white man, and that this man hadn't even bothered to come to his own trial, and that he had also been acquitted. And there was a demonstration as a result of this in the courtroom by the Negro women of the community. And they had approached me and had said, "Well, you said that you would see that these people would be punished because through the organization we would have competent counsel, and that if it hadn't been for you, that these people would have been punished." And they wanted to know what I would recommend that they do from then on. And so I recommended that they meet violence with violence, that Negroes must be prepared to repulse attack, that they must be willing to fight, that they must be willing to die and to kill if necessary, that there was no law, there was no 14th Amendment to the United States Constitution of equal protection in the South, and that therefore they didn't have any deterrent, so they would have to create the deterrent force themselves by making violence with violence.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
And welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Broadcasting from behind these enemy lines known as USA Inc. Today is the last day of 2015 as we get ready to enter into another year of broadcasting, and I'm just very excited. Again, we do have some new programming, two new programs that will be coming on during Sunday afternoon. One of them comes on at 11 a.m. and the other one will be coming on at 12:30 p.m. Eastern time, and I think you will like those shows. One of them is going to be about, you know, current events, as well as bringing on, you know, conscious people to talk about the issues that we're facing, talk about some of the solutions that be hosted. I don't want to share her real name. I don't know if she wants to go by that, but the other show will be about African American sovereignty here in the United States. That's one of my old comrades from when I was on the non-black platform that I got kicked off of. Well, they didn't kick me off. They suspended me, and I didn't like that. So I was like, I'll build something where I don't got to worry about you trying to shut me down. And so George will be coming on at 11 o'clock on Sundays. I got to work with both of them Saturday night, so hopefully they'll be ready to do their debut broadcast on Sunday. So I'm just really excited, and of course, you know, I'm still going to be looking for more on-air talent, because we have a lot of slots open, you know, for this particular digital radio station, Black Talk Radio Network. All right, so again, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this Bill Cosby thing, as we talked about it, you know, with Brother Ralph called in and gave his thoughts. I relayed to you what the brother said last night on Lotus Place Radio. And yes, you know, there is some question. I understand where people are coming from. All of these people like Hugh Hefner, where some of Bill Cosby's alleged crimes went on and whatnot. How come he hasn't been brought up on any kind of charges and whatnot? People have talked about other, you know, white celebrities and stuff that got to get away with crime. I was just reading the other day that that one actor, and y'all excuse me, I don't know all these people's names. I think his name is Robert Downey Jr., and he got convicted of some drug charges and whatnot. Do you know the governor of California gave that man a pardon? It ain't like he was in jail or prison or anything. This happened years ago. Might have been over a decade ago when he got convicted on drug charges, you know. And he was also, I think how he got busted, he was on a video with two underage females. All right, and you know, y'all know, can imagine what was going on there, and you know, that's I remember that. So he ended up getting charged on some and convicted on some drug charges, and they gonna issue him a pardon. What kind? He wasn't even in prison. I don't even think he ever went to prison. But yet, you got all of these. That same governor, when the Supreme Court said that, you know, y'all have to ease this overcrowding because that's unconstitutional, those conditions that you're forcing people to be in on your prison plantations. Of course, they didn't call it prison plantations and whatnot. But what did the governor do? Well, he called his private prison slaver buddies up and said, you know, the Supreme Court gave us this order and whatnot, and so we gonna need to use some of your private facilities to lock these people up. We ain't letting nobody out over no nonviolent drug crimes. They didn't harm anybody else. They were just smoking weed, snorting coke, shooting heroin, whatever they was doing, you know, they was doing to themselves and nobody else. And but we ain't gonna let them out of prison to ease the overcrowding. We ain't even gonna let the old people out. You know, the elderly prisoners that have very low recidivism rates, who've been locked up probably mostly half of their lives. And no, we ain't gonna let them out. But oh, this white celebrity, oh, we gonna pardon him so we can clean his record up and all that. And I don't even know what the purpose of that was, but anyway, y'all know I'm well aware of those sort of things. But guess what? Don't none of that excuse what Bill Cosby allegedly did. And I'm using allegedly probably liberally here, because the man has admitted to buying these drugs to drug these women. All right. He has admitted to that. He admitted to it. These weren't no kind of like drugs that, you know, what's the drug they be rapping about? Ecstasy, you know, where it just heightens your sexual senses and stuff. No, he buying drugs to knock them out, man. Knock them out cold and what. He admitted to that. He admitted to that. And then the one that he's being charged with, the crime, the victim in that case, her mother recorded him when he called. She called him and left a message. He called her back and she asked him, what did you do to my daughter? My daughter have nightmares and she won't even see her friends or anything like that. She's just withdrawn and having all these emotional problems. What did you do to my daughter? Like that. And he apologized and he said, I'll pay for her therapy. Come on, people. Come on now. We can't just because other people practice injustice don't mean that we should practice injustice. And I, again, if you're one of those sort of people that justice depends on the person's skin color, well, a number of his victims were black. That 17-year-old, she was a black, you know, teenager. I don't know how old Jewel Allison was. Jewel Allison is the one I had interviewed because of her activism on behalf of the little black girl that got killed in Detroit by the Detroit police officer. You know, she's one of them. She did not strike me as a person who is just going to make up stuff, and or she's going to participate in some white supremacy plot to keep Bill Cosby from buying a piece of NBC Universal. How do we even know that's true? You know, that he was really going to buy that. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. I don't know. But that, I don't care. I don't care. So, you know, I think some of us have a blind spot when it comes to celebrities, as Neely Fuller would call them, showcase. You know, they racially showcase people to make, you know, the world seemed like all of these people are so successful. All these black people, they got all this money. They got these nice, fine homes. They driving these expensive cars. They're wearing, you know, designer suits and got designer handbags and all that. So it must not be racism. It must be you. It's something you ain't doing right. Cause hell, these black people overcame and look at how successful they are. So, you know, when these showcase black people that we're living vicariously through, and we see their success as our success, and we need them to give us self-esteem, you know, because some, you know, admit it, people got low self-esteem. I mean, you should have low self-esteem if all you know about yourself, or you think you know about yourself, is that you were just an enslaved African on this continent and whatnot. You know, not to minimize anybody that was or anything like that, but that kind of thing can instill low self-esteem. When our children aren't taught their true history, yeah, they're going to have low self-esteem when they in school reading about these all these great white men and whatnot. And they're going to be like, well, where are all the great black men and women at and whatnot? You mean to tell me all we got is Dr. King and whatnot and that's it, you know? And they don't know about the hundreds, possibly thousands of black African descendant soldiers who fought in the Revolutionary World War and helped establish this nation? Okay, you know, and we can talk about the side issue of whether or not, you know, that's something to be proud of. If you was helping white people steal the land of indigenous people, I don't think that's what a lot of them were doing, at least not in this area, from the history that I have researched in my own local area. But what I'm saying is there is a lot of valid reasons for us to have low self-esteem. But we ain't going to get built. We shouldn't be trying to build up our self-esteem off of the success or alleged success. It depends on how you define success of other people who look like us. All right. So, that's all I really want to say about it is that, you know, I don't think that it's healthy. I don't think we're coming from a healthy place. If we want to say, you know, Bill Cosby shouldn't be going through what he's going through because white people got away with it. No, that ain't practicing justice, man. That's not practicing justice. And I got daughters, I got sisters, I got a mother, I got aunts, you know, and you know, many of you that I'm connected to either through these airways or through social media. I care about y'all, man. I care about y'all. And if it was to happen to y'all, by whoever, I don't care what their skin color was, I want y'all to get justice. We got a phone call. Okay, give me just a second. Area code 240, thank you for calling in to Black Talk Radio News. What's on your mind?
No, I'm just calling. Listen in. Scotty, this is Christian.
Greetings to you. We have a conference line for that, but since I don't have a whole lot of people on the studio line, because it'll lock up if we get a whole lot of people on it, that's why I set up the conference line. But since you're the only one, I'll let you go ahead and stay on the line. I appreciate you listening and calling in.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so, yeah, that's all I got to say on the Bill Cosby thing. You know, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time debating the merits of the case and whatnot. That's not. Hey, Brother Christian, if you could just mute yourself, if you don't, you know, have anything to say, just mute yourself so we don't hear any background noise. Appreciate you. All right, so now the next story, the last story that I want to touch upon, is like I stated earlier, in 2015 we saw a major push. I don't know if I should call it major, but we saw a push to remove all these white supremacist symbols, you know, all these statues honoring enslavers, rapists, murderers, white supremacist terrorists and whatnot. And so we saw that in South Africa, the South African students at whatever the name of that university was, where they had this big giant bronze statue of Cecil Rhodes, one of them white supremacist terrorists that came into that country and oppressed so many black people and whatnot. And they tore down his statue. And I think his statue was also taken down in I think that's Zimbabwe, where he had this big giant, I mean, this big tall statue, man, overlooking one of the lakes there and whatnot. I think they tore that down too. All right. And so this year also we've been seeing, like, I think it's the students at Princeton University are saying that, you know, it's incorrect for you to name this building or this scholarship or whatever it is was named after. I can't recall that guy's name. He was a president, and he is the one that had the screening for that racist white supremacist movie promoting the Ku Klux Klan, and he screened it in the White House. I can't remember his name. I think it might have been Wilson, something like that. It might have been Wilson was his last name or whatnot. But they have been demonstrating on their campus and trying to get those buildings renamed. We interviewed one of the students involved at the Clemson University. See the Stripes is what they go by. I can't remember the young brother's name, but you know, they got the buildings named after Tillman, the racist white supremacist terrorist who bragged about lynching black people, killing black people and whatnot. He belonged to a terrorist organization called the Red Shirts, and Benjamin Tillman is his name. I think the context of white supremacy. Yeah, I remember they did a book study on him, the reconstruction of white supremacy. telling his story about Ben Tillman, and they got these buildings named after him on the Clemson University, and those students, you know, saying that this is incorrect, that, you know, people like that, degenerates, criminals, terrorists, shouldn't have places of honor in a society that's based on justice. And admit it, yeah, we don't have a society that's based on justice. It's not practicing justice. But how do you tear that? Where do you start at? Where do you start? If you trying to implement a system based on justice, if you trying to overthrow white supremacy, you got to start somewhere. And so that's why I don't minimize, you know, tearing down those symbols. Like John Sims, the artist, said, and I'll close out today's program with that track. But like he said, you know, if you can't even do nothing about the white supremacist symbols and things that you see on the surface, what makes you think that you are equipped to do anything to uproot the white supremacy that you don't see, the hidden institutional racism and whatnot? So, you know, the last story I heard about that comes out of New Orleans. TheRoot.com published this article earlier this month. I meant to share it earlier. They published it on December the 18th. Kirsten West Savali is the author of this article. And she says, New Orleans removal of symbols honoring traitors and domestic terrorists is long overdue. Symbols of the Confederacy pay homage to chattel slavery, murder, treason, rape, and the theft of black labor, lives, and liberty. And they got this big giant monument of Jefferson Davis, who was the president of the Confederate States of America. And, you know, somebody, and they did it here where I live in Charlotte, you know, put graffiti on there. And what they wrote on his was slave owner. I think some in Charlotte on some of the monuments, they put white terrorists or something like to that effect. So we've been seeing that. Also in Memphis, you know, they voted to remove the statue and the grave, which is on public property in a public park, and the Klans have their annual pilgrimage every year to Memphis, Tennessee, to the grave site of Bedford. What was that man's name? William Bedford Forrest, I think is his name, and whatnot. And he was like one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. And every year, you know, these terrorists would come from all over the country and go there to worship at his grave site and have rallies and whatnot and do what terrorists do and spread hate and terrorism. And they voted to remove it and dig his bones up out the ground and dig his wife up out the ground and get rid of that monument, which they should not sell or give away. They should melt that buddy down because it's made out of bronze, and they should melt it down and then sell the metal and then, you know, put it into some services for some of the impoverished, oppressed people of Memphis and whatnot. So this just happened, though, this year, in New Orleans this month. They said by a vote of 6-1, the New Orleans City Council decided to remove the symbols honoring the Confederate States of America, a domestic terrorist group that existed in this country from 1860 to 1865. Just one of the domestic terrorist group, because I would submit to you USA Inc. is the biggest terrorist entity on the face of the planet. But, you know, I digress. Anyway, they said that, you know, these symbols are symbols that are still revered by many white Americans who wax nostalgic about a time when the Old South still lived. Well, I hate to tell you, Ms. Savali, but the Old South still lives. Slavery was never abolished. They still practicing slavery. All this mass incarceration is just a continuation of slavery. All of this policing is really slave catching and killing and whatnot. That, so, you know, all this stuff, ain't nothing old about it. They still do that stuff down here. But it says, it goes on to just talk about that. Talked about it was a vote 6-1. Everybody, and then these other people were calling the ones who voted to remove these symbols a disgrace and whatnot. And so they just tell you, you know, their mindset. They're terrorists. Only terrorists worship other terrorists. They're white supremacists. I mean, who in their right mind can give you a logical argument that tax dollars should be used to maintain and prop up white supremacist symbols? Everybody's paying taxes, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, who in their right mind? Nobody in their right mind. Only a terrorist would support something like that, you know? Only a white supremacist wants to honor white supremacists. And so anyway, you know, if that was the last thing that I saw on this area of people activity on tearing down these symbols of racism and white supremacy. And again, you know, these are just the symbols. These are just on the surface. That is, by any means, does not mean by tearing down these symbols that we have ended the system or there's some great victory to be claimed. No, no, no. These are just many battles in the long war that has been raging on this continent for over 400, going on 500 years, all right? And it's just a battle. It's one that needs to be fought and won, but it's just that, you know, just a battle in the long war. And so I applaud those people. I applaud, and not the politicians who voted to remove it. You know, if you want to pat them on the back or pat them on the head, you can do that. But the people who were behind the movement, to make them put it to a vote. Those are the people that I would like to applaud. And I just want to again mention, I stand in solidarity with the students of Clemson University, the students of Winthrop University, the students of Princeton University, wherever they may be, that are attacking these symbols and pulling them down or trying to get them pulled down and whatnot. I stand in solidarity with you. I think what you're doing is constructive. Just don't be naive to think that the war is over. No, it's not. The war ain't over till slavery is abolished once and for all. The system of racism and white supremacy has been replaced with a system based on justice, as Mr. Neely Fuller talks about when he's on air on Talktainment radio. All right, so I don't have anything else to share, but we do got another caller. I think this is a new caller. It might have been another caller. 317, did you have a question or comment before we jump off air?
Yeah, I wanted to tell you, man, I've been listening to you for a while. I think it's great that we have somebody that, speak the truth. I know, a couple other, talk shows, have lost the truth or whatever, whatever you call them, to be on regular air. There's a lot of cooning going on, but I guess they're getting paid to do that. But I just wanted to tell you, I really, first time calling your show, but just listening to you and one guy said we wish you had more callers. I'm telling you now, it's a lot of people listening to you. They just don't, you know, call in. You'd be amazed. And as you said, people are starting to wake up. They're starting to see what's really going on. Like you said, people learn on different levels. And like I was telling my wife, I don't know what it is. I guess it's an older generation. Is not like our other older generations. It's kind of weird that you used to go to to the elderly to get wisdom and knowledge, and it just seemed like this kind of older generation, we're not getting it from them. And down here in Indiana, man, it's what the youth are scared of is this generation, so-called leaders, that are turning them in, mm-hmm. telling on them, mm-hmm. and it's kind of scary that we supposed to, the elderly supposed to save and protect the youth, but they're feeding on them, so-called preachers and stuff. They getting money to so-called saying they helping the youth, but the mm-hmm. youth are not stupid. They know what's going on. You know, down here they call the church leader the Black Klan. Mm. So, I just want to tell people the youth are not stupid, and we need to protect them and stop trying to get this grant money on these youth up in these churches and stop playing games.
you know, let me speak to something. And I appreciate you, brother. Yeah, we know that people are tuning in, you know, to the station last month. I won't have the statistics for this month till probably tomorrow, but last month, you know, we had our largest listening audience for monthly totals of 84,000 unique listeners, and that's from people all over the globe. Now, that's nothing in comparison to the audience of a terrestrial radio station, you know, Tom Joyner, you know, some of the other people that you were talking about. No, we don't have their listener audience, but that's okay. That's okay, you know, because there's this old saying that that one righteous person will put 1,000 to flight, you know. And so if long as we do what we can to raise up our youth in the right way and let them know that all of us are not selling them out, because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about people who have sold out, you know, their future generation, sold out their kids, sold out their grandkids and whatnot for, as you say, you know, grant money or whatever. But there's a reason for that, you know, because, you know, we do a program on here called Political Prisoner Radio, because we do have many elders in prison, have been in prison since the 60s, 70s, and 80s, because they were out there engaged in the things that the youth are engaged in today. You know, and they and the youth today haven't reached the level of resistance that we saw during the Black Liberation Movement. But my hope is that they'll get there, because I'm seeing many of these youth are quoting people like Mumia Abu-Jamal or Sada Shakur, or, you know, and they're being attacked for that. You know, so they, one of the things is that they came down on our people so hard during the 60s, you know, assassinations, framing people for crimes they didn't commit, put them in prison, or, you know, so that whole thing went on COINTELPRO program. And like many other people, I've heard other people explain it this way, like many of the aides that Martin Luther King had that was on that balcony when he got shot down and killed by an agent of the U.S. government, that was their wake-up call. All right. And they weren't willing to put their lives on the line. And so they got government jobs or they got government grants.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, what's going on is either going to make you act one or two ways. You either fear is going to cause you to give in to the enemy, or that fear is going to make you rise up against the enemy. You know what I'm saying? So people are just having different reactions. I do know there are some elders, but they aren't being showcased on mainstream media. They don't have the big giant platforms, access to terrestrial radio, and that's why, you know, their knowledge isn't being widely shared. But this generation here, though, like I was telling somebody earlier today when I was asking the question, why is Facebook and other tech giants making the internet accessible and free to other parts of the planet, like in Africa? I was reading today that they had Facebook was providing free internet to everyone in Egypt, and the Egyptian government shut it down. And so, you know, I said that the internet, man, has led and is leading to a mass awakening. And this generation here, you know, younger than me, they have grown up with technology. And they have access to information that's outside of the classroom, and they're able to do research for themselves, you know, or to read the research of other people as we put these things online. So I think that's a big difference there. I think that's contributing to the mass awakening. And that's why, you know, we created the Black Talk Media Project, so that we can, instead of, you know, always complaining about what we don't have, well, let's get to building, you know, what we know we need to have. And so, you know, I got hope, brother. I got hope. And this system ain't gonna last always.
Yeah, I do too. And I got one more thing to tell you. I heard the one guy talking about dealing with a job and stuff. You know, I go hard with my wife and my son, telling them on a job. Don't tell white people all your business, because they sit back and study you. And like I tell my son, do the reverse. Study them and sit back and see how they are, and see how they try to play you. We tell white people too much of our business. I ain't trying to be funny. They don't care about you, and they always want to psychologically oppress you and always be in charge of you and try to tell you what to do, as we say, dealing with the system of white supremacy.
Yeah.
It don't make no difference if it's a elite white boy or a white boy out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
If they make more money than you and they don't, they still want to try to be in control of you and be in charge of you. And what's going on with these jobs, as they say in America, the job thing is shrinking. And as the one guy said, it's not what you know, it's who you know, but also it's going by your color. They are making sure the white people have jobs and we don't. So that's what's going on dealing with these jobs. I mean, we can get them, but they still control them. And also dealing with the so-called race war, the gun thing. We got people telling us turn your guns in, but I live in an inner city, and every month they having a gun show, and these white people come all over the city buying these guns. Mm-hmm. They are not playing. And
no,
that's
not.
All I got to say, man. I appreciate your show.
All right, thank you. We do got another caller in just a few minutes here. Tando Radio Show will be coming on air. Brother Dave had suffered. His family has suffered some inclement weather down there, damaged their communication services, but they got him restored, so he's back on air today. Area code 240. Thank you for calling in the Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Hey, what's going on, Scott? Here's Christian again.
Hey, Christian.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's on your mind? You're going to be the last caller of the day on Black
Talk
Radio.
Okay, not a problem. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate this platform that you provided, and I've enjoyed this year. I'm definitely looking forward to next year, and hopefully we can get more people on board to support this platform so it can stay on, because you bring it in every day. Facebook online and offline, so I definitely appreciate it. Wanted to let you know that.
Thank you, Christian. That really means a lot to me, as that's just affirmation that I'm on the right path, that I'm on the path that the Creator has laid out for me, and I made the right decision in this choice. And again, I didn't do this by myself. I had a lot of support, whether that be financial, whether that be spiritual, whether that be whatever support, and just you and others expressing those words are like food to my soul, as they say. So thank you. Let's see. Okay, we're going to close it out again.
Q&A queue is cleared.
Tando Radio Show is coming up here. Brother Dave is on air. They're having an open forum to discuss the current events and talking about preparedness for 2016. Let me find that song that I wanted to close out with by Brother John Sims, talking about burn and bury. Y'all bear with me as I go through this. I really like this song a whole lot, as well as the one we use for our theme music when we come on air, and that is Jack Metaphor. Lots of people have asked me, who is that guy? What's that song? And the name of the song, I'm going to pull it up right now and give it to y'all. I'm going to have to go to YouTube to find that song, because I can't find it in my library right now. I got literally thousands of songs in my media library. Let me see. That would be Jack Metaphor. For those who might be wondering, because I have been asked, what's the name of that song that you open the program up with? The name of the song is 2337. I don't know what that means. It could be the address of where Fred Hampton was assassinated. I'm talking about Chairman Fred Hampton. Y'all know his son, Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., is an activist and actionist in his own right up there in Chicago. But that's the name of that song, 2337, if you type that in. Or Jack Metaphor, featuring Chairman Fred Hampton Jr., you can find it on YouTube. Burn and Bury. Let me see. That is John Sims' project. Let me see if I can find that. I really like this song, man, because it talks about the visualism and the importance of visual propaganda and things of that nature. All right. Recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines of USA Inc. Casualties are being created every day. They trying to get new slaves for the 21st century plantation. So you need to develop battlefield awareness, battlefield skills, codifications, so that you can decrease the likelihood that you'll become a casualty. There's no foolproof method. You know, people train. I was in the military. You know, people in the military, they train a lot. But there's still no guarantee that you won't get taken out by the enemy. But you can, that training is so that you can increase the likelihood that you will survive on the battlefield. So that's what I'm saying. Develop these skills so that you can increase the likelihood that you will survive. We'll close it out with Burn and Bury, John Sims Project. Peace and blessings to all.
Civil War II, the war that started way before General